Please open in your Bibles to St. John, the fifth chapter. I want to give this a title or a question, and that is, what is your potential? Subtitle would be, how much can you do? Third title, what is this church's potential? How much can this church do? Each of us has a potential. Each of us has a limit on how much we can do. I want to speak on what is your potential, or how much can we do? Before we take a look at St. John, the fifth chapter, you don't need to turn to it, but if you'll trust me, I want to read to you what God said in a conversation to Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 7 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Heavenly Father, we thank you for being able to worship you freely and openly. There are many, Lord, that are hiding only because of persecution. May we be grateful for the freedom you've given us, else we lose it. We want to thank you and pray now that you would take my words. I pray the Holy Spirit will direct them to our hearts and bless your people in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. What is your potential? How much can you do? What is this church's potential? How much can it do? Jeremiah found out he could do whatever God commanded him to do. God said to Jeremiah, "When I called thee, I qualified thee. I qualified you. And I'm commanding you to speak, therefore you're to speak." In Philippians chapter 4, verses 1, verse 13, it says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." That passage does not mean that I can swim the Atlantic Ocean. It doesn't mean I can fly like a bird or jump off some tall building and be Superman. Even though when I was a child and I read Superman comic books, I used to pray, "Oh God, turn me into Superman. I'll use all my powers for your glory." He didn't hear that prayer. So it doesn't mean that we can do whatever we have these notions. What does it mean? It means this, that whatever God wants me to do, I can do it through Christ. And that is the key. Now, St. John, the fifth chapter. This has been preached 100 times, 100 ways, but I want us to notice something before St. John chapter 5. It is a comment Jesus made just prior to it, found in St. John, the 4th chapter, verse 48. "Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." That's a fair accusation. Then Jesus said, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." We come to chapter 5, and what Jesus said is surely true in this case. He said, "Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And yet, it's possible to witness signs and wonders and still not believe. And that seems to be the case with the man that Jesus is going to minister to. Let's pick up at verse 1. After these, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, and of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? I want to just stop and say, meditating upon this, and I invite you to do also, I don't find this man full of faith. I don't find him, by what he said, really what we would say, faith, and really raring to go. I base that on verse 7, the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I'm not going to say he didn't have faith, but it sure isn't boiling out of him to where it is right on the surface. I've heard some ministers say that this man had been at this pool 38 years. I'm not quite sure he had been at that pool 38 years. It does say that he had this crippling disease 38 years. How many years he had gone to this pool of Bethesda waiting for the angel to trouble the water is another matter. I wonder if that man who said, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. I wonder how many like him would say, I would be saved, but I have no man to tell me of the gospel. This man said, I have no man to put me into the pool. And Jesus says something strange. It would be strange. Jesus said, Rise up. Or rise and take up thy bed. Now, first thing that Jesus said was, Wilt thou be made whole? Maybe there's a question whether he really desired to be made whole. But the Lord knew why he asked that question. But the second thing he said was a commandment. Rise and take up thy bed and walk. I can hear this fellow saying to Jesus, even though he didn't say it, maybe he thought it, Jesus, I can't rise, I can't take up my bed, I can't walk, I've had this affliction for 38 years. In fact, I was carried here, and you said for me to walk. I can't even make my bed, let alone take it up. I can't even sit up on my own, let alone take up my bed and walk. I cannot do that. But Jesus said, Now you can, because I just commanded you to. And anything that Jesus commands you to do, he gives you the wherewithal to be able to do it. It was physically impossible for him to do what he had been told to do. If I told him to do it, I would have gotten the answer that I just heard that he may have said to Jesus, which we don't have record, but it would have been the truth nonetheless. But Jesus asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? And then he says, he commands him to take up his bed and walk. And I just want us to realize you can do whatever he commands you to do. That is your potential. And the key is finding out what he commands us to do. In Matthew chapter 9, there's another similar story of a man that is sick with a palsy. And Jesus says to him, take up thy bed and go to thy house. Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house. And the Bible says, and he arose and departed to his house. How did he do it? It's because he was commanded to do it. And yet, if he was to say, Lord, I can't do that, I've been this way, Jesus would have said, now you can. Because whatever God commands you to do, you can do it. And that is what we have in the story of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, when the Lord let him know what he was going to do, he said, I'm but a child. And the Lord came back and said, say not that thou art a child. This is a matter of obedience. And Jeremiah found out that he could do what God commanded him to do. And so that is your potential. That is my potential. That is the church's potential. We can do whatever he commands us to do. Now, one says, and I've heard this ever since I've been in the ministry, I can't afford to tithe. Yes, you can, because he commands you to. And whenever God commands you to do something, he gives you the wherewithal to be able to do it. I have been grieved at times over the years when I've seen families stick up for family and say, well, they can't afford to tithe. Yes, they can afford to tithe. Don't make excuses for them. Whenever God commands us to do something, he gives us the wherewithal to be able to do it. When I hear someone say, well, I just can't be faithful to church. Yes, you can. The Bible commands us to be faithful to church. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Let us quit making excuses for what God has commanded us to do. One says, I can't get along with my wife. Now that might be enough. No, whatever God commands you to do, you can do it because he tells us to. I've heard people say, I can't love my enemies. I'm sorry, but you can. Well, really, I'm not sorry. I'm trying to find a way so I don't upset you, so you don't get mad at me. But no, you can love your enemies because he commands us to. And God never commands us to do anything except he gives us the wherewithal to be able to do it. Let's take a look in Matthew chapter 14. And the disciples, it says, were in a boat. And here comes Jesus in a great storm walking towards them. Peter looks at Jesus and isn't sure if it's Jesus, but he said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. Can I come? That looks like a lot of fun, Jesus. Now let's just enter into the conversation and say, hold it, Peter, you can't walk on water. You're right. No man can walk on water. But when Jesus said to Peter, come, there's a commandment, then you could do it. Now you can shove me all you want to try to walk on water, but I'm not going to try to walk on water until I hear the blessed Lord say come or put in a commandment. And Peter heard the Lord say come, and because of that, Peter can walk on water. Now, people have criticized Peter for sinking. But the last time I checked, Peter holds the record for water walking. Let's give him credit outside of Jesus. So Jesus, I repeat, never commands you to do anything you cannot do. So what is your potential? Anything God commands you to do. Everything, every commandment in this book, you can do it. If God tells you to do something, he'll help you and equip you to do it. It's been said, where God guides, he provides. Your potential is determined by the commandments that God has in his word, or that his Holy Spirit, and only you and God can really determine whether he commanded you and has spoken to you. Jeremiah said, I can't speak. And God said, before you were ever walked before you ever came out of your mother's belly. I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, I can't speak. And the Lord said, you can now. Maybe up till this point you couldn't speak, and you probably couldn't, but now you can because I have said you could. Let's take Moses. God comes to Moses, says, I want you to lead the Israelites, Moses. And Moses said, I cannot. I'm slow of speech. I've often wondered whether he was lying or telling the truth, because in the book of Acts it says that Moses was eloquent in word and deed. And you really don't find when Moses said, I can't speak, and God went ahead and gave him Aaron, you really don't find too many things Aaron said that took the place for Moses. But Moses, back to him, said, there's no way. I'm not a speaker. I can't. Oh, Moses, you can now, because I commanded you to. Take this one sick of the palsy. You couldn't maybe yesterday, but you can now, because I told you to arise and take up your bed. The man at the pool of Bethesda, maybe he couldn't walk up to then, but you can now, because I just said for you to do it. And he will never have you command you to do anything. He will not give you the ability to do it. Take Gideon. He was backwards. He was so hiding behind the wagon, threshing the wheat. And some preacher I heard years ago call him a thumb-sucking, scared man. And one could perhaps see that. And yet when the angel came up and said, all hail, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, you can't be talking to me. I can't. But you can now, because I commanded you to. I remember in 1977, riding with my wife in our 1973 Gran Torino Orange, coming back down Highway 5. My wife is asleep. I look to my right, and there's Wairika. I never even hardly knew the town existed. But when I looked at it, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to pioneer a church there. I began to sniff and weep a little bit, and woke my wife up, and I told her what the Lord had just said. We were heading back to take a church in Oakview, the church that the pastor was resigning from. And I remember thinking, how in the world am I going to start up a church? I have no money to start up a church. I have no building. I don't know anybody in the town. I have no support. But the reason I could is because God told me to. And because God told me to, He provided. We had some amazing miracles in Wairika starting that church. After we arrived, I remember we got a place to live. But then I probably broke every rule in the book on these things on how to start up churches. And I'll go to these seminars and they'll say, how you do this, how you do that. And one thing I think, doesn't anybody hear from God? Doesn't anybody make the decision on if you hear from God and then you just go ahead. But they were doing all this homework, and I'm sure there's a place for that. Maybe the guy who was crippled, maybe he should take lessons about how to walk before you walk. No, you just walk. How to pioneer church before you pioneer church. I'd never pioneered a church, but you just learn to be obedient to God. And I remember we were looking for a building, and one day I contacted this one fella because I found a building out on the outskirts of town. And I was told that they don't rent it out except to a judo class. So I went to the man in town who taught judo to little children. And he says, we use it, but you can't use it because it's owned by the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, whose headquarters was in Reading. There's been others that have called to want to rent it, but they always tell them no, but I'll give you the number if you want to call them nonetheless. I called them, He said, yeah, I get calls occasionally. People want to use that building, but nobody meets the requirements. He said, here, I'll read you the deed to the building. He reads that deed to the building, and I'm listening to him, and it says from the chicken house, and it was rather unusual, and I'm not quoting it correctly, but it was so many paces to the big white rock, and then they had the real proper number down. This deed was back in 1930 or something. And then finally it said at the end that if this building is ever to be used again, it must be used for the furtherance of Pentecostal festivals. I said, would you repeat that last line? And he repeated it. I said, well, that's what I want to do. I want to have a Pentecostal festival. Well, I didn't know what I thought a Pentecostal festival is what we do when we come worship and have a hallelujah time and preach the gospel and have a good Pentecostal time. But it was because of an island out Portuguese. They had a drought, and because of this drought, they prayed, and because the rain came, they decided to celebrate. Well, their idea of celebrating is different than ours. They had a big drunken get-together, and everybody got drunk, and they killed pigs and barbecued. So this building that was built, they would have once a year all the Portuguese that had migrated to Wairika. Once a year, they'd have a big party, last all night, have bottles of booze and everything else, and they'd kill a pig and barbecue it, and they'd dance, and they'd get drunk. That was their idea of a Pentecostal festival. But when I told the man I wanted to have a Pentecostal festival, he didn't know the difference between a Pentecostal festival and the kind I wanted to have. And he said, well, if that's what you want to do, then you can have it. We got to rent that building for $100 a month, but it was God. And the reason we could do it is because God commanded me and God spoke to me. And all I'm trying to say is make sure you hear from God. If you hear from God, there should be no further question. It should be obedience, and where God guides, He provides. That is our potential. And so, does anybody have a word from the Lord? That is what we should be doing, is seeking God. If He commands it here, then let's be obedient. If He commands us through another way, then let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. And I hate to question people when they say they heard from God. I can only answer for myself. But when I've heard from God, I move ahead. And I suggest you do the same. Make sure you've heard from God. But once you're convinced you've heard from God, move ahead and be obedient. You'll be able to do. That is your potential. It's my potential, and the sky is the limit. And so the question is, what has He commanded us? Do it. Whether it be written or whether it be by the Spirit of God. I remember one time I was in a very difficult place, and I didn't know how in the world I was going to get out of it. And I started to communicate with the Lord, but He spoke to me that scripture that says, no temptation has come to you which is not common to man, that He will not provide a way of an escape. And He did. He always does. He'll be with you. How many want to obey Him? It puts a different angle on obeying. And oh, that's old time preaching, is obeying. But this morning, we praise Him because we're commanded to praise Him. It's the sacrifice of praise. Thank you for picking that song, Audrey. And it is what we are commanded that we do. And then you can watch God work. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. When You ask them to do its seemingly impossible things, whether it be rise, take up thy bed, and walk, they could do it. Maybe before they couldn't, but now they can. And Lord, whatever You command us, we can do the same. We can be faithful. We can give. We can tithe. We can love our enemies. We can do these things that the enemy so tries and so often to tell us we can't. But we can. Do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and make up a commandment.